At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us here once again on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. It's a game day edition. Hornets looking for back-to-back victories before they head out on the road. Tonight they'll host the Phoenix Suns. We'll have our game preview for that one coming up. Also have a couple of Jeff Peterson-related topics to talk with you about. Several different publications, different media sources detailing the arrival of Jeff Peterson and some of his past that has led him to this moment, becoming the Executive Vice President for Basketball Operations for the Charlotte Hornets, also known as the Chief Decision Maker for the franchise in terms of basketball-related things moving forward. Helping me on both of these topics, he is one of the authors of one of those pieces, as well as one of our favorites here on the HHC, part of a Two Sams edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the great Sam Perley of Hornets.com. Sam, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, and in person as well. I'm not sure if it sounds any different being in the studio as opposed to over the phone, but I am staring across at the table from you right now.
It's like the first time in 3 weeks that we've been in the same place for more than a game. So it's nice to get to talk to you about it. We will talk about your article, which is featured on Hornets.com in a little bit. But wanted to start things off, tip things off, if you will, by looking at the most recent episode of Real Access. It really dives deep into the first couple of days for Jeff Peterson arriving here in Charlotte. Talks to a lot of people, including most notably, I would say, Rick Schnall and Gabe Plotkin, the co-chairman of Hornet Sports and Entertainment, about what attracted them to Jeff, made him the right person for the job, and just a lot of the details. So definitely encourage everyone to go out there, check it out. It's available on Hornets.com. You can find it on YouTube, find it through our social media channels. Lots of ways you can go find Real Access, but if you want, simply just look it up, R-E-E-L Access, and find the latest episode, episode 10, I believe, which focuses on Jeff Peterson. One thing that Rick and Gabe talked about that really stood out to me, I think Gabe mentioned it specifically, but both have talked to us about it in the past, is the timing of the hiring and how important that was, being able to give Jeff an opportunity from the Hornets' perspective, not working from another organization, but from inside the building, to look at what is currently on the roster, to begin to prepare for the draft, for free agency, looking at the summer ahead, player development time for Brandon Miller and Nick Smith Jr. and the other young guys. What will they become and be able to contribute next season? Also, rehabilitation for players like Mark Williams and LaMelo Ball. We haven't seen them on the floor in a while. It's not to say they have a major thing to go. Quite frankly, we don't know. But the key for the franchise is obviously having all of those major pieces available day one to start next season. So it's a huge summer ahead, and maximizing the amount of time Jeff Peterson has as the lead decision decision maker to get up to speed is enormous, because ordinarily you would not have that amount of time. You would basically be making a hire and then within 15 minutes say, all right, we're now on the clock, or we need to make a call on this free agent, or we need to make a decision on whether or not we're going to offer this guy a contract. Jeff has time to evaluate and make the best possible decision on all of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's clearly a very exciting time for the franchise, and you know where, you know, the direction that they're going right now, and finding someone of Jeff Peterson's caliber and history, and you know what he's kind of gone through in Atlanta and Brooklyn. And it's a really good point with the timing. It's kind of, I don't know if it catches you off guard, but it's like when you hire him, there is no, when you make such a big hire like this, there is no, okay, I'm going to head back to Brooklyn, I'm going to, you know, finish up there a little bit, you know, pack my bags. You know, no, he started. It's day one. I mean, he was working the next day in the locker room, talking to the guys, meeting with them, meeting with staff. I mean, he goes right on into it. So it's got to be kind of a strange transition. It's no different, I guess, than being, you know, if you traded, you traded between teams and you start right away. Obviously, it's a little different, but I think it's great that he is going to basically have a quarter of the season when it's all said and done to kind of evaluate everything, evaluate the players. You still got a handful of new players here that got here from the deadline that you're trying to kind of figure out and work into the system and everything. And the evaluation is tough right now given the injuries, because you don't get to see the full total picture together of what the plan, or I guess how it all works together right now. But I think the timing is huge advantage, because once the season ends, it's okay, I've got 20 games, 25 games of evaluation, especially with this new look team post deadline. And that way you can approach free agency, you can approach the draft, and you've got a lot to work with in terms of resources, what you've seen, things like that. So it's exciting that it's kind of, the ball is already rolling right now in middle of March, heading into what you said is going to be a very busy summer.
Couple other perspectives that were offered up in this latest episode of Real Access, which again, could not recommend you higher to check this one out. They're all very entertaining. They give you a great behind the scenes perspective on what's going on with the Hornets. But this one, obviously, for such a consequential decision for the franchise, really is something that it's a key behind the scenes look. But they had several conversations with people outside of the organization that I thought are really illuminating. One is with Sean Marks, who is Jeff Peterson's former boss, I suppose. With the Brooklyn Nets, he is their chief decision maker, different title from executive vice president of basketball operations, but effectively the same job on Brooklyn's side that Jeff is now taking over here for the Charlotte Hornets. And one thing you don't always know when a new lead executive is hired is what is their expertise. It's a little easier to know when it's a player what their skill set is, because you've seen them play at other levels with other organizations. You have an idea about what makes them as great as they are and maybe what they will try and build on for the future. With coaches, with front office people, it's a little more difficult to tell because they're behind the scenes. If you're an assistant coach, you as a common fan don't necessarily know, is that person an offensive expert, a defensive expert? Do they specialize in late game situations? You know, what is it that is their responsibility? And similarly for the front office, if anything, that's even more hidden from the public view. So I thought it was really fun to hear from Sean Marks on some of the things that he thought Jeff excelled at. One was scouting ability. That makes all the sense in the world, because Jeff played at a very high level, played for three universities. All of them were in Power Five conferences. So we've seen a lot of really, really good players. And having that background, playing with guys who would go on to play in the NBA, gives you kind of a leg up on what works, what doesn't, who's got great skill but is not going to translate onto the floor, who's got something that's maybe more on the intangible side where they're not going to test off the charts in a combine situation, but they're going to get on the floor and they're going to produce. So I thought that was really illuminating. It's certainly not the only thing Jeff Peterson excels at, but the fact that Sean Marks said, hey, this guy can scout his rear end off, he's going to know a good player when he sees it, he's going to find talent and bring it into Charlotte, I thought that was a really illuminating piece to the Real Access.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, coming from where he was, I guess, where he started his career in Atlanta for 4 or 5 years, and a similar market to the Hornets. You know, it's not necessarily going to be a team that is going to be this major, major free agent destination like in New York or Miami or Los Angeles. So what you have to do is you've got to hit on the draft. And that's what they did down in Atlanta. And that's what they, you know, if you look at the 60-win team they had in 2015-16, they did have a bunch of all-stars, but you never looked at those guys like Al Horford and Damari Carroll, you know, Thabo Sefolosha and Dennis Schroeder and Jeff Teague and Kyle Korver and Paul Millsap, I think, was on there. Those guys aren't NBA stars, but they fit together really, really well. And they were one of the best teams in the league in 2015 with 60 wins. And then kind of doing the polar opposite up in Brooklyn and, you know, playing and putting together a superstar team. So I think it's great that Jeff has the experience of not only being in a situation like Atlanta where, you know, you're not going to get these super, super major high profile free agents coming, but you've got to build through the draft and you've got to build through free agency. And they made some really, really great signings down there in Atlanta. And I think they had 4 playoff trips in 5 seasons, maybe something like that, with, you know, that kind of core group of Teague, Korver, you know, Millsap, Horford, those guys. So, and then going to Brooklyn, you know, it was a little bit of a different situation, but, you know, having a superstar team and then kind of building out around that. And they're, you know, as we, you know, all know, they're a Kevin Durant foot on the 3-point line in the Eastern Conference semifinals last year from, you know, the story being completely rewritten. So I think it's great that he's got experience and, you know, major experience in 2 completely different organizations that approached roster building just differently. And there's no right or wrong way. Some teams have to do it this way because of certain situations. Some teams do it this way because of certain situations. So I love his background and I love the experience he's had. And he said a lot about, you know, going from Atlanta to Brooklyn was a big transition, but is what allowed him to grow and take the next step as a front office executive. So he's all about, you know, talking to him a little bit last week, he's all about new experiences, new people, building new relationships, seeing different things, and kind of using all of that and putting it together to help take where you are another step forward. So I'm really excited. I think he's going to be great. And I love, again, that he's, you know, already getting going here as even just a few days into being here in Charlotte.
A lot packed into this most recent episode of Real Access. Again, can't recommend it highly enough. Go check it out. It's available on the Hornets website. It's available via YouTube. You can check it out through Hornets social media pages. Of course, you'll hear from Jeff Peterson, Rick Schnall, Gabe Plotkin, the co-chairman of Hornets Sports and Entertainment, Sean Marks, the lead executive for the Brooklyn Nets. You hear from Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj was in studio right where we are sitting right now. Sam Perley, that's where Woj was about 2 weeks ago, and talking about the Peterson hire. All of these pieces a part of the latest episode of Real Access. We've got more Jeff Peterson talk to come. Also, have a game to preview. Hornets are hosting the Phoenix Suns. Tickets are available at Hornets.com. We'll get into that next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Sam Farber and Sam Perley here with you at Two Sam's edition of the HHC, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. One of the Jeff Peterson connections we didn't get into in our previous segment, which was focused on Real Access, is one to some current players, significant ones across the NBA, that goes back to the infancy of Jeff Peterson's front office career. He, of course, was a very high-level college player, elected not to go play in Europe, and was encouraged to pursue opportunities in front offices, namely, I think it was basically an internship with the Atlanta Hawks, which he turned eventually into becoming an assistant GM, and now is the executive vice president of basketball operations here for the Charlotte Hornets. But one of his earliest relationships with a player and earliest decision points was being a part of the draft that brought Dennis Schroeder to the Atlanta Hawks. And that is the subject of a new piece on Hornets.com by the one, the only, Sam Perley, senior writer of Hornets.com. Sam, you did a deep dive into this, discussing it with Jeff Peterson and others, no doubt. Tell me what you learned about Peterson and how some of those early decisions and being in that draft war room helped shape some of his executive front office career.
Yeah, I really found this kind of an interesting and fascinating relationship talking to Jeff a little bit one-on-one last week. And then he mentioned that, you know, one of his, I guess, maybe you call it a milestone or kind of a significant part of his journey was, you know, when his first year in Atlanta. I think it was towards the end of his first year in Atlanta, so that he started there in 2012. And then 2013, I think he was still a seasonal assistant before he got hired full time. But their president of basketball operations at the time, Danny Ferry, and their assistant general manager, Wes Wilcox, said, you know, just wanted his thoughts. I don't think he said they didn't have a ton of people in basketball operations at the time back in 2013. So they brought everybody into the draft room. And that's pretty uncommon for somebody in Jeff's position at the time to be giving input on the draft, because it's such a major, major decision that can alter the trajectory of a franchise. And he was part of the group. They had the 17th overall pick to take Dennis Schroeder. You know, that's obviously a little bit risky, just in the sense of, you know, Dennis Schroeder was coming from Germany. There's not a, you know, ton on him. You know, there's always kind of that extra element of boom or bust, maybe. But within 2 years, I mean, Dennis was playing, I think, 70 something games on that 60 win Hawks team. He was averaging double figures, 4 assists per game. I want to say he was like borderline top 10 in sixth man of the year. I think he was 11th and sixth man of the year and 9th and most improved player at the end of his second season. So he became a major, major part of their core for 4 or 5 years. And one thing I thought was really cool that Atlanta did that kind of kicked off this relationship between the two was normally when you bring over players from overseas, teams will provide a little bit of extra additional support, especially for younger guys, because there is a, you know, a cultural difference, there's a language difference, everything is different on top of trying to learn the NBA game. And, you know, Jeff was kind of the one that, you know, worked with Dennis the most and kind of provided that support and care on and off the court. And they built such a tight relationship that Dennis started inviting Jeff to accompany him back to Germany in the off seasons when he went to play with the German national team. And he said he did this for 3 or 4 summers. And it's not just, oh, you fly back to Germany and start playing and, you know, it's 2 weeks and then it's gone. It's like a 50 or 60 day process to go back to Germany. And he said they were staying at, you know, his parents' house, and, you know, Dennis's mom was cooking Jeff food, and they, you know, they spent every single day together for 50 or 60 days in a row, working together, training together, you know, and kind of helping Dennis get ready for national team, whether it was Eurobasket or FIBA World Cup qualifiers or whatever it was. So I thought it was really, you know, the relationship between the two I found really, you know, cool was the way Jeff kind of helped Dennis get acclimated to the United States. That was his first trip when he flew over here for the first time after getting drafted. It was his first trip to the United States ever, and helping him kind of, you know, get his feet under him here in the United States. And the way Dennis sort of like returned the favor is Jeff, when he went back to Germany with Dennis, basically was an assistant coach with the German national team. And he said that was one of the things that, you know, he loved the front office stuff when he transitioned from playing at Florida State to Atlanta. He loved, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. But as a former player, you know, it's the thing, I think if you ask any former player in the NBA, what's the thing you miss most when you stop playing? It's the locker room, it's the camaraderie, it's not even so much the playing, it's sort of just the environment and being around the team. And Jeff got to scratch that itch a little bit by being part of the German national team, in the sense of being an assistant coach and being on the floor and kind of doing that a little bit. So I thought it was really cool the way Dennis almost returned the favor. You know, Jeff helped him get adjusted here in the NBA back in 2013, and Dennis ended up returning the favor by helping Jeff kind of have a little bit of what he had been missing from his playing days. So they built a really, really tight relationship over the years, and I think Dennis was traded in 2018 to Oklahoma City, and Jeff left the next year for Brooklyn, and they were briefly, I guess, cross paths for about 2.5 weeks last month when Brooklyn traded for Dennis at the deadline, and then Jeff, I think like 2.5 weeks later, took the Hornets job. So it was really interesting to hear from Jeff about his relationship with Dennis, and then vice versa, talking to Dennis a little bit, and you know how excited he was for Jeff. And you know, he said 2 or 3 years ago, he's like, I still can't believe he isn't have one of these jobs yet. Even that was back in 3 years ago when Dennis was with the Lakers. So really, really cool. And I don't doubt that there's plenty of other players in the league that have really tight relationships with Jeff, whether it's from Atlanta, whether it's from Brooklyn. He's mentioned he's very close with Kevin Durant, having played AAU basketball. So it certainly speaks to Jeff's ability and what, you know, ownership has said. This is a guy that players are going to want to play for, you know. So I really enjoyed kind of hearing this relationship, because I had no idea it was a thing until I talked to both of them.
One other element of it that's interesting to me, and I'm curious if you got into this at all, but how he was able to identify Dennis Schroeder as the guy, because there's a couple of elements to this. One is that Jeff was a former player and played American college basketball. So he played against a lot of guys that were picked around the same area. Shane Larkin was a guy coming out of Miami, Florida. They both played in the ACC against one another when Jeff was at Florida State. Gorgie Jang, different position. Maybe they were looking for a point guard, not a big, but still someone drafted in the same vicinity, went to Louisville. They would have played together or played against one another. Mason Plumlee played at Duke same time. Reggie Bullock played at North Carolina. This was 10 years ago, so players stayed in college a little bit longer, not quite as, you know, the same as multiple generations ago, but more so than today. So these are all players that Jeff would have had experience playing against. So was there a temptation just to go with a guy you know playing head to head? And then the second part of it is, this was a draft that at the time wasn't considered to be a very strong one, and even today it's considered one of the weaker ones, but it did have its highlights, notably Giannis Antetokounmpo, maybe the best player of the generation, came out of that draft. But usually when I see a draft labeled as, oh, this isn't a very good draft, what it means is it's not an easy draft. It's not an obvious draft. There's not someone who's labeled 3 years ahead of time, this is going to be the number one pick, and these are the next five guys that are going to come off the board. You have to have more of a scouting eye to find that right player, and there's no question about it that in finding Dennis Schroeder, he found one of that draft's top 3 to 5, maybe at most 7 players, and he did it at pick 17, at least weighing into that conversation. So did either of those elements come into it, how he knew that Dennis Schroeder was going to be a good guy, or how he came to pick him over players that he had been on the floor against in college?
No, it actually didn't come up, and I only really realized after I finished doing the transcription that, okay, I'm going to kind of take this Schroeder angle a little bit, because a lot of this, the talk, I mean, we only talked for like 10 minutes, but it was a lot of just kind of getting to know him and background and, you know, his experiences and getting ready for Charlotte, and then I kind of went back through it a little bit and was like, I think the Schroeder angle is kind of, that's a kind of a fascinating one. So I don't know if it would have been, I would have loved to know, like, okay, who else was on the board at that point, but also didn't want to, you know, put in a situation where it's like, yeah, you know, we were considering taking so-and-so, it would have been an all-star, and oh, the second choice would have been this guy, and it wasn't. You know, the draft stuff can be so, you know, ripe for revisionist history sometimes. So I even if I knew that, it would be more out of curiosity to see who else they were leaning towards, but didn't want it to be a situation where it's like, you know, if they had, you know, Rudy Gobert went 10 picks after that, you know, considering taking Rudy Gobert, then it's like, oh, you know, that wasn't necessarily, you know, it's sometimes things can look a little bit different 11, 12 years later. So didn't get into that, you know, you know, anytime mid lottery, late lottery, or mid first round in this case, I mean, they found a very, very capable guy's been in the league for, Dennis Schroeder's been in the league for 10 years now, and, you know, just won the FIBA World Cup last summer. He was the MVP. I mean, he's still playing at a very, very high level. And this is also kind of pre, you know, every team having their own G League too. I mean, Dennis didn't play a whole lot his first year. So the way they were able to develop him and get him to the point where he was a major contributor on playoff team year after year after year, I think is a testament to what they saw in him, and then the development process there too. So didn't know, you know, I might have to circle back later just out of pure curiosity, but it is interesting that, you know, Jeff, I'm not sure necessarily if he thought about, you know, where the college guy stands or guys he competed against. I'm sure that was taken into account too. And he said this whole experience of kind of being in the draft room and giving his input on Schroeder, it helped build him some credibility and it gave him some confidence. And I think it really kind of got his career rolling after that first year of like, okay, I think this is, you know, the path I'm going to be on. So it would be interesting. Maybe if you had a redo and couldn't take Dennis, who would he have taken? Not knowing what you know now, because it's easy to look back on it, but you know, that's what kind of makes the draft fun sometimes.
Well, he'll likely be picking a lot higher than that pick that he got Schroeder in, 17, in this upcoming draft. But hopefully in seasons to come, Hornets are drafting there or later, because they'll be winning a lot more, be in the postseason, and have to work with non-lottery picks. And this early experience for Jeff Peterson will come even more in handy as the Hornets are hopefully making, as I said, those later picks later on down the line. Hornets will take on the Phoenix Suns tonight. Between now and when you get to the arena for tip-off, make sure to go to Hornets.com. Check out the full article published just the last couple of days from Sam Perley, senior writer from Hornets.com. Sam, sticking around. Game preview, Hornets versus Suns next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Sam Farber and Sam Perley here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta. Hornets taking on the Phoenix Suns for a very fast one-game homestand tonight. Just enough time for us to do laundry and then get back on the plane, get back on the road, as this is night one of a back-to-back for the Hornets. They'll be visiting Philadelphia tomorrow. It is night two of a back-to-back for the Phoenix Suns, so a rest advantage for Charlotte. Second game in a row, the Hornets have had that. Hornets took on Memphis the other day. Grizzlies were on night two of a back-to-back. That worked in the Hornets' favor. Hopefully tonight we'll do the same here for Team Teal, get them a win streak heading out on a very long road trip, the longest remaining one on this 23-24 season. Sam Perley, you know how this works. We need players to watch and a stat to watch. Where would you like to begin?
So I would go with a Hornet player to watch, and I will start with Brandon Miller. A little bit of a quiet game in Memphis the other night, only 10 points, 4 of 12 shooting, hit a couple threes to keep that three-point streak intact. Also had three rebounds, but this is the good thing is, even though the scoring wasn't necessarily really there, he had three rebounds. He had five assists, coming off a career-high seven assists in Detroit the other night. So you're seeing more of that playmaking, even if it's not, you know, necessarily putting up these 20, 25 point games every single night, and also tied a career high with four steals. So I thought it's anytime, you know, a guy, especially a rookie, maybe doesn't have the best of shooting nights, to see him contribute in other ways with playmaking and defense, I think that's fantastic, because you're not going to, you know, some nights you just don't have it. But a couple, I guess, somewhat milestones for Brandon heading into night. is only 6 points away from becoming the third fastest player in franchise history to reach 1,000 for his career. He would do it in 60 games. Only Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson did it quicker. I think 6 points should be pretty achievable. And if he hits at least one three-pointer, he will be have sole possession of the longest consecutive game streak with a three by a rookie this season. Right now, he is tied with Jordan Hawkins. They both hit 21 in a row at some point this season. So hopefully 6 points, one three-pointer. Hopefully for a lot more, but definitely two very, very achievable milestones, I guess, tonight for Brandon Miller.
Yeah, those are two I've had circled on my bingo card for quite some time here. Looking forward to seeing if Brandon Miller can take that streak over all on his lonesome for the longest streak in the rookie class. Would also move into the top 18 with several other big names in terms of NBA history for longest streak of games with a made three in your rookie campaign. He would join the likes of Damon Stoudemire,
rookie of the year,
very strong rookie performer, yes indeed, and Luka Doncic. That was also his longest
also
stretch.
Rookie of the year.
Also rookie of the year. So maybe it's a prelude here for Brandon Miller, maybe getting a little bit more buzz for that award. I have to go in a different direction. I'm going to go with Miles Bridges for this one. Miles is back on another hot streak here. He had a little bit of a shooting lull for a while as he was stretching out his own personal streak of consecutive games with a made three, but he's now found his form again. He's made multiple threes in three straight games. He's scored 20 or more in four in a row, and the team has a 500 record in those four games. So he is at the center right now of all the scoring. I think in the future, as you project out, if he's with this core, you're looking at him as probably your third option. Your hope is that Brandon Miller continues to ascend, that LaMelo Ball picks up where he left off. That makes Miles Bridges a third option, which is great. I liken it, you're a big baseball fan, to having an ace be your number three starter or someone who has that kind of quality of stuff. Maybe they're not going to be as successful as the ace going up against the other team's ace, but going up against the other team's third pitcher, it's lights out. So I think that's where Miles Bridges hopefully folds into in the future. Right here, right now, as the Hornets ace, he's been very productive. He's been a strong scorer, and he's kept the Hornets in a lot of games. So looking at Miles Bridges as my Hornet to watch tonight. Next up, Stat or Sun?
I'm going to go with Sun to watch. Going with Bradley Beal, playing into a little bit of the Brandon Miller played for Bradley Beal's AAU team. Let's focus on Bradley Beal as being the Sun to watch. I think the last time these teams met in December in Phoenix, Beal was coming off a long absence from an injury. I think he played very limited minutes, only had 6 points, but also recently had another hamstring injury in February. I think sidelined him for 5 games. But going into last night's game in Boston, he was averaging 23.2 points on 51% shooting and 42% from 3-point range in 5 games from March 3rd to 11th. So you talk about the baseball analogy there, having an ace as your number three. That's kind of what Brad Beal is right now for the Phoenix Suns. I mean, we saw him for a number of years in Washington, and I think he was either won the scoring title, was second in the scoring title a couple years ago. I mean, very, very capable of having a 25, 30 point game any given night if Kevin Durant or Devin Booker either aren't out there or you know, all three of them could do it at the same time too. So he's been fantastic, just a really, really talented scorer. And you know, the injuries have been a little bit of an issue this year for Beal. I mean, he's missed some time, ankle stuff. I think he had some back issues as well, but when he's healthy, he's as good as any scorer in the league. So Brad Beal is going to be my Sun to watch tonight.
Suns have certainly had some injury issues. They've got several stars, and there have been very few games where they've all been aligned. But that said, I don't feel bad for them at all, because even when one or two of them is out, they have two other all-stars they can hand the ball over to. So I'm going to pick one of them. I'm going to go with Devin Booker for this one. Now, he has had some recent injury bad luck or injury issues, but he did play in the last couple of games for Phoenix. I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that he will play on night two of a back-to-back. Hasn't always happened. In fact, I think the last time they had a back-to-back, he missed night two. If that were to happen, it would be of some significance for the Hornets, because that would give them a leg up. The game that Booker missed on the last back-to-back sequence where it was night two, Suns lost it, so that would be good news for Charlotte. So whether he's in or out of the lineup, he'll have a big impact, but clearly a premier scoring guard, someone who doesn't need to shoot threes to put up 30, 40, 50 points, can knock down the triple, not as efficiently as even Brandon Miller is at this stage of his career, but he's a very high-quality offensive option, and he'll be my Suns player to watch. Last but not least, we need a stat to watch.
My stat to watch is going to be Phoenix's mid-range shooting. They have three exceptional mid-range shooters. And I would be curious, and this would be something a bigger, deeper dive, but they don't really have a true point guard on the roster, just given all of the, you know, salary cap that's devoted to these three guys. So Devin Booker has been their de facto point guard. And I don't know if that's something that's playing more into taking more mid-range shots this year, or if it's just something that they just play to their strengths, because Durant, Beal, and Booker are all exceptional mid-range shooters. But as a team, the Suns are first in the NBA in mid-range field goals made per game at 6.5, second in attempts at 14.2, and then fourth in percentage at 46.4%. So kind of adjust the way your defense is going to guard, I guess. You know, it's not just the three-point game. It's not just the paint, you know, playing drop coverage or anything like that. I mean, you got to really, really be ready to guard multiple three-level scorers on the Phoenix Suns. So I personally like watching the mid-range shots. It's a little bit of an old-school feel. I don't want to see a ton from Phoenix tonight. They can keep that at zero, but those elbow jumpers, Brandon Miller is really good at it. Chris Paul was really good at it when he was in Phoenix. Ish Smith had a really nice pull-up jumper kind of at the elbow there. I love watching the mid-range shooting, so maybe that's something that's why I gravitated toward the stat. Again, I don't want to see it from Phoenix tonight, but it does have a little bit of a old school feel to it. So definitely be mindful of Phoenix's mid-range shooting tonight. They're very, very good, and they will take a lot of attempts there.
I wouldn't mind seeing a bunch of mid-range shots if it came because you saw less of the stat I'm focused on, and that is free throws. The Hornets cannot foul. I know we had some fun, or you and Rob did. I heard the podcast yesterday after the Hornets win over Memphis, where Charlotte looked like they might not attempt a free throw for the entire game, didn't take one till the fourth quarter, tying an all-time basketball record for fewest free throws attempted in a half. Zero. But Charlotte eventually did get to the line. Phoenix, they are so skilled offensively, but this is something that Coach Clifford talks about a lot. And he says the worst play that you can make as a defensive player is fouling. Fouling is less efficient than giving up a layup attempt. They're more likely to miss a layup attempt with someone there to marginally contest it than they are, per possession points, per possession standpoint, to miss free throws. So you just simply can't foul. And the last time the Hornets got together with the Suns, Charlotte played a good game. They didn't turn the ball over very much. Suns turned it over more. Didn't have too difficult a time on the glass. Hornets actually won the offensive rebounding battle. But where they gave up a huge margin was at the foul line. Hornets attempted 8 on the game. The Suns attempted 24 in a game that was decided by 14 points. So that was the difference right then and there. For Charlotte, you know, if the game is called evenly and you have a roughly similar amount of free throws, there's still a huge advantage to the Suns because they've got Durant and Booker and Beal and all these other great weapons. But if you allow them to go to the foul line, you're just handing them the game because they're too good. They're not going to miss that many. That is an area where I think the Hornets really have to be on their P's and Q's. So don't foul. Avoid fouling at all costs here for the Hornets. That'll be my stat to watch. After the game, no question about it, Sam Perley will have you covered on Hornets.com with the postgame wrap up, and he'll also be doing the recap episode of the HHC back here in studio with Rob Longo for tomorrow's edition of the Hivecast, talking about tonight's game against Phoenix as well as tomorrow's against Philadelphia.
This is like my own Brandon Miller consecutive three-pointer game streak, because I think if I do that one and then this one, or I did last yesterday's, this one, that one, and then after the Philadelphia game, that's gonna be 4 days in a row.
I mean,
which is a lot, way far away from what Brandon Miller's at 21. But
you also have a ways to go to tie Rob Longo, who's this
on
is
everyone.
The first podcast he hasn't been a part of, at least on air. He is editing it as we speak. He's producing the heck out of this thing. Great job, Rob Longo. But yes, Rob Longo's streak unbeatable on the Hivecast.
Yeah, that is true. I got a long ways to go. I guess is maybe like the secondary guest. I don't know.
You're
outside of maybe you two. Is that the longest 4 days in a row?
I think it is. Well, we appreciate you each and every time you pop in. Thanks for the great work on the piece on Hornets.com, and thanks for sharing some time here on the HHC.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Sam Perley. Thanks to our producer, Rob Longo. Most of all, thanks to all of you for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next time right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.